You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Yet another Michigan hospital will soon shed itself of its obstetrics unit. Manistee Hospital closes its maternity ward on May 31st. Expectant moms there will be able to get care before and after giving birth, but for the birth itself, they'll need to drive to hospitals that are 40, even 60 minutes away. And it's a story getting more and more common, especially in rural Michigan. Amy Zagman is executive director of the Michigan Council for Maternity and Child Health. Good to have you with us, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
So according to the Michigan Health and Hospital Association, this was startling. In the 1980s, we had over 220 hospitals in Michigan. These days, that has dropped to 133, and of those, only 81 offer OB units. I want to dive into the why in a moment, but first let's talk about what this means for mom and baby. You've got, you know, mainly rural areas, a state where women in 36 of 83 counties have no hospital OB unit. Does that also tend to mean no OBGYN doctors as well?
It can, because of the nature of obstetrical care really relies on the OB having privileges at the hospital to deliver the baby. Often you will see obstetricians, their offices are located in the same county or sometimes in the hospital. So certainly it is found that sometimes OBs will travel to other areas to have, you know, 1 day a week or 2 day a week office hours. But on the whole, they tend to be located in the counties where there are hospitals that offer labor and delivery.
Okay, so no labor and delivery units, and then very few OBGYN doctors in these counties for these women. When you think of the distances that women from these rural areas are traveling, big distances when it's time to give birth. I know when that OB unit in Manistee closes at the end of the month, those women are going to have to go 40 minutes away to Ludington or even 60 minutes away to Cadillac. How does that affect the health of both the mother and the newborn?
Certainly, we know that if someone has to travel, there could be a number of things that might make the trip even longer, whether accident or construction. And so you start to get into longer time periods when we know that a woman can be with the type of provider that can attend to her birth in the best way possible. And so that's very concerning. And we want families to have plans with their providers, but sometimes plans are just that. And babies come when they're ready. And there can certainly be emergency circumstances as well that may make a 40-minute or 60-minute drive very dangerous for both mother and infant.
As we see these OB units closing around Michigan, are we seeing a reflection of that in maternal and infant death rates in our state?
So because the numbers are so small, that's, you know, part of what's driving these closures is the low birth rate. Mm-hmm. When we look at population health statistics and outcomes, often what we're looking at are trends over years and looking at numbers where there are a significant number of adverse outcomes. We do have some of the highest infant maternal mortality rates in the state in some of the more rural areas that have been impacted the most by some of these closures in recent years.
And statistics don't matter one bit if you are a mother who has lost a baby because you're on a long drive to get to a unit. You don't care about statistics. That is a terrible tragedy in that family.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot more to be said about sort of what closing a labor and delivery unit says about the future of a community. And so while I think that understanding the economic pressures that hospitals have, we can understand the decision to close a labor and delivery unit, somewhat predictable with a lower birth rate and the aging of some parts of our state, it's very alarming, not only, like you said, for individuals, for families who may live in those communities, but just thinking about the long-term viability of a community. If you cannot attract families to a certain area because there's not certain quality of life or certain services available, including obstetrical care, including the ability to go to a hospital in a reasonable distance to deliver a baby, a new member of the family, this aging of some parts of our state, I don't know how you stop that spiral if we can't attract young families to live and have families in those areas.
If you just joined us, we're talking about the growing trend of hospitals in Michigan closing their obstetrics units. Talking with Amy Zagman, who's executive director of the Michigan Council for Maternity and Child Health. And you touched on a very core issue, Amy, about Michigan's birth rate. It's at a 76-year low. Certainly that means fewer OB patients. So I guess you have to ask, why wouldn't a rural hospital decide, you know what, we're going to have to close that expensive OB unit. It's just not financially sustainable. And also, if I'm an obstetrician, why would I not want to practice in an urban area where I have partners? I'm not the only one. Nobody wants to be on call 24/7.
It is very understandable, both for hospitals and practitioners, that the low birth rate and the widespread geography of some parts of the state do make it unsustainable for them to keep these services open. I think it's just very concerning for families who continue to live in those parts of the state and, as I said, continue to visit those parts of the state. It leads us to a conversation where I think we really need to reexamine labor and delivery services and obstetrical care in a way where we need to think about what is the base level of services that needs to be available wherever someone is located in the state, and what would it take to support and maintain those services so that we don't leave hospitals and providers in the situation of making what is a very understandable and rational decision, but it still shortchanges women and families who live in those areas.
Let's talk about answers to this problem. It seems that those might break down to encouraging hospitals to keep the OB units open and also finding creative ways to get obstetric care to women in rural areas. What solutions strike you as worth exploring?
So I think there's certainly a lot of work going on now with providers who are known as more sort of safety net providers, like our federally qualified health centers, who often are the obstetrical point of care for women prenatally, postnatally. For them to work to provide that care and also come up with the best plan possible when it comes time for delivery for a woman. So I think there's a lot of work going on to make sure that care is still being provided in communities across the state. I think that there needs to be a much more thoughtful conversation on the part of state legislators and the administration in the state about what can be done to support small rural hospitals or hospitals where the birth rate is very low in our state to maintain those services. There is a funding pool available to small and rural hospitals in the state currently, but the adequacy of that certainly could be questioned as these closures continue to happen.
What about midwives, nurse practitioners? How could that be their help be used?
So I think certified nurse midwives and nurse practitioners are being used in many of the safety net settings as well as in hospital settings across the state. There has been more of a rise of home births attended many times by certified professional midwives who were recently licensed in the state. I think you have to have some idea of the risk factors involved with each scenario and your own individual risk factors if you're a woman who's pregnant and considering your options. And it's very important that we make sure that people are not making decisions based solely on the availability of services in their area, but rather what's the safest for good outcomes for the woman and the child.
You know, as we talk about this, my mother grew up on a farm. She was born in 1922 at home, grew up on a farm in Ontario, and most of her brothers and sisters of that large family were born at home. Are we seeing things cycling back to the way they used to be in rural areas when home births were the norm and people may do because that's all you could do?
Well, certainly we've seen a rise in home births. Many of the reports are that folks in rural areas are more likely to avail themselves of those services. I don't know that many people are comfortable with the idea of the only medical care that's available to them is at a 1922 standard.
Right. It's not a good thing that we're talking about 1922 standards. Nobody's choosing this. What does it say to you about our health delivery system in 2019 for these expectant moms and their newborns if we're thinking about 1922 levels?
Yeah, I think we would absolutely agree with you that, you know, while I don't want to impinge on anyone's choices,
right,
the idea that that be forced on someone is certainly not something that we would agree with. So we really need to be thinking more thoughtfully about how we're going to build an entire system that really recognizes everyone in the state, regardless of where they live.
Amy Zagman, Executive Director of the Michigan Council for Maternity and Child Health. Amy, thanks so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you, Cynthia.